We continue our learning Le'ilui Nishmas David ben Menachem Lushin Cham Yaakov ben Pinchas Leo. We're in Ksuvos Perek Zayin Mishnah Ches. Hayu ba mumin va'oda beveis aviyah. Here we have a case where if there were certain defects of mumim that a girl, a woman had, and it's between erisin and nisuin, it was discovered she had these mumim. And this would be true, by the way, even if he was mekadi, the husband's mekadi shar, without any tanai that she had no mumin. So if she had these mumin, but she was still beveis aviyah, right? So it's between erisin and nisuin. Ha'av tzarech lahavi raya shemishin es arsa nol duba mumin halalu nistap chasadeu. So the father has to bring a proof, meaning the father wants to claim the ksuba from the man. He's refusing to marry this man's daughter, so he wants to prove the defects, these mumin, came about after erisin. So too bad. And we've had that phrase in the first parak, from this tchap chasadeu, your field has been inundated. Too bad on you. These happened after erisin. It's not a mekach tos at all. So the father is the one here who is, because she's still within his jurisdiction, it's after erisin only. So and these mumin, that's when they appeared. So the father has to say, no, you know, these mumin were not there before erisin. These mumin were only happened after erisin. Too bad on you. You mekadesh her without mumin, and now she happens to have the mumin, and therefore she deserves the ksuba. And that's what the father is claiming. Now, says the Mishnah, so what do you mean it's the father's responsibility to bring this proof? Isn't there a chazakah that we usually have that a woman is born without mumin? And that chazakah shidra, that's the chazakah d'mei ikara. That's the chazakah that she has to begin with. So why should it be that the fact that we have mumin, well, you know, now we have to wonder, maybe they were there all the way from the beginning and the father has to bring a proof that they were not there from the beginning, they only appeared after erisin. So that's because the Gemara has this principle called kanim tzu, kan hayu. The fact that we have, when she's still beveis aviha, we find these mumin, so we can assume that they were there beveis aviha, while she was living in her father's house, even before the marriage. So the question is, why should this be true here? Take the halacha, the way it was established in the first parak and Mishnah Vav, like Rabbi Gamliel, that we say a woman is ne'emenes. What was the case? The husband says, you're not a besula. I find you're not a besula. After marriage, she says, your field has been inundated. Nistap chasadehu. Why? Because I'll tell you why. Because I'm mishe rastani ne'enasti. I was raped. I was violated after erisin. So it's not a mekachtos. I was really besula when we got married. But this happened after erisin, that way I was violated. There we say that she's believed. The husband, and why? Because we assume that she has this chazakah, and we don't say, well, too bad, you're not a basula. It's the proof is upon you. So why should it be different over here? So there are different explanations for why this is. The Gemara raises this question, and apparently that kan nimtzu, kan hayu, the idea of mumin, the fact that we found them the way they are in this situation, means we can assume they were already there. That can override the chazakah. The Ran explains that the case is different, though. And that is, in the case in that Mishnah, why do we believe the woman that she was violated after erisin? So the reason is because that was a case of Bari Veshema, if you remember. She was Bari. I'm sure that I was violated after erisin. What was the husband saying? Loki, maybe not. Maybe it's not so. Maybe you were. It was a mekachtos, and you were no longer. You were not a basula even before marriage. So he has a Shema claim, and she has a Bari claim. Therefore, we believe her. But in our Mishnah, so the woman doesn't know with certainty when she had this mumin. So not necessarily. And you could say there are different types of mumin. One of the mumin we discuss is having bad breath. So that's something that maybe she's not sure. Maybe you'll say a certain physical mumin she should know already about. And that is the case of Bari. But there are cases, no, she may be a Shema regarding the mumin as well. And that's why we could argue, kanim su kanayu, and she doesn't have a chazaka that she didn't have mumin. And the Rosh says, I'll tell you the difference between the two Mishnais. The case in the first perek where she's claiming I was raped after erisin, and too bad on you, I deserve my ksuba. That's where the girl was a bogeris. She was no longer under her father's jurisdiction. So when you have such a girl and she has erisin, she's considered now within her husband's jurisdiction. So that that's the case, even if, let's say, there was a change in our status that was found out during that time period. So you don't say, oh, kanim tzu kan hayu, and that will weaken her chazaka. That's not true. But in our Mishnah, we're talking about an ara. She's not a bogara. She's still under her father's jurisdiction, under his authority. So and aksuva belongs to the father. So therefore we say, oh, in such a case, we could say, maybe in fact the moon were there before Erisin, because she's in the status of she's a nara within the jurisdiction of her father, and that's why we'll say kanim su kanayu, and she loses that chazaka, the cheskas kashra, so to speak. So anyway, that's a way to explain the difference between this Mishnah and the Mishnah in the first parak. So the Mishnah continues, nichnasa l'rishus habal. Now, though, she enters the reshus of the husband, meaning he discovers these mumin after marrying her, and he wants to divorce her without giving her the ksuba. Habal tzarech lahavi raya sha'ad shelo shelo nis'arsa hayuva mumanelu. Now, the raya has to be brought by the husband. Since they were found only after marriage, so we can assume that he married her. This is the way it is, and he married her with these mumin. It didn't have a problem with that. He would have to prove that, oh, these mumin existed before Erisin, and if he doesn't prove that the mumin were present before the Erisin, so then what do we say? Then we say kanim su kamayu. We assume that where were they? They were there when she was already under the husband's authority, the husband's jurisdiction. And too bad you can't claim mekachtos. V'chachamim omrim b'medvar mamurim. Meaning, if after kiddushin, after the heiress and the husband finds these mumin, when do we say he can divorce her without giving her the ksuva? That's only the mumin shebeseser. They're only where the mumin are hidden, are private, and therefore it's possible he was not aware of them, and therefore it's a mekachtos. But to tell me that what? That if the mumin are begolui, they're exposed, they're revealed, he can't claim this a mekachtos. He obviously saw them, and he was mochel on them. He realized that he was able to handle them. Bar Tudor says, diyada. Vinis Payes, he knew about them and he was literally appeased, meaning he was able to tolerate them. Now this refers to the case in the previous Mishnah, if you remember, where the husband made a tnai that the heiress in the Kiddushin is dependent on the fact that she has no mumin. So obviously he surely didn't mean wasn't referring to the one that were exposed, because he was certainly aware of them. Obviously he's referring to only the ones that were hidden, the ones that we were unaware of. And this is also true, as the Rambam explains, to places where the minhag is of women to walk around in the street with their faces uncovered. So since everyone knows this is true, he mentions the cities in Edom, which is at that time, where they would wear their faces were uncovered. So, but if you have places where women don't go out in the street, or when they go out, their faces are uncovered, or the only time when she goes out, let's say, to the bathhouse, and she does that, she's completely covered. No one sees her except, let's say, her relatives who are female. So then the husband complained. He can claim he was not aware of even the mumin shebegoli, even the exposed defects. So the Mishnah. So again, v'medivar mamurim b'mumin shebeseser, aval b'mumin shebegoli eino yachol liton. He cannot make this taina. Now, this sounds like a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir made no comment about mumin shebegoloi versus mumin shebeseser, and it sounds like it makes no difference. So the Mefarshim explain, no, Rabbi Meir agrees with the Chachamim on this. We'll see, he would only disagree regarding the case of the bathhouse of a merchatz, which the Mishnah is going to mention right now. Says the Mishnah, v'im yesh merchatz ba'osah ha'ir, if there's a merchatz, a bathhouse, in that city where all the women bathe. Af mumin shebeseser eni yacholiton. He, the husband, cannot make a taina even on mumin shebeseser, b'nei shehu bot kabat krovosav, because he can check and inspect with her relatives. Meaning, even if she was found to have mumin that were private, that were not exposed, he can't claim that the erisin was made bitos, that it's a mekachtos, because he obviously was aware of them, say the chachamim in the Mishnah, because he can ask his relatives whether they saw a mumin while she was bathing. Obviously, his Tanai didn't include these types of mumin, but only the ones that you cannot detect in the merchatz, let's say, having bad breath. So therefore, even if the husband is able to prove that the mumin were there before the erisin, he still had to give it the ksuba. Because these are things that could have been found out. So this and if let's say in a certain place, let's say the women go out and they're completely covered even in the bathhouse. So then, or they only bathe at night and no one can see. So then we would say the husband is able to claim that he was unaware of these exposed defects. And that's what we made this point about Rabbi Meir, that Rabbi Meir would not agree with the Chachamim on this point. Rabbi Meir wouldn't say, with the Chachamim, say, if there's a merchatz in the city, even mumin shebub says here, he can't taina against. Rabbi Meir says, that's not true. I agree with the revealed, the exposed mumin that he can't taina against, but the ones that are private, he can taina against that he didn't know about, even if there is a merchatz in the city. Perek Zayin Mishnah test. Ha'ish shanoldu bo mumin. So here we have a case where the man has defects and he became afflicted with these physical defects after the marriage. Ein kofina so lahotzi. He's not forced to divorce his wife. This, obviously, if he had these women before the marriage, she was aware of them and she accepted them. So that's certainly the case. But even if these defects came after Erisin, we don't force him to divorce her, but she doesn't have to marry him. We don't force her to marry him either. If the mumim came about after the marriage, after the Nisuin, however, then if she refuses to live with him, she's considered like a moredes, that rebellious wife we spoke about, and she's losing the ksuba, she's divorced without a ksuba. So again, ha'ishem and aldubo mumin ain kofin aso lahotzi. We don't force him to divorce her. Amar shim gamliel b'med devarim amurim b'mumin haktanim. That's where they're tolerable, these little defects that she can handle. Have a mumin hagdolim, large ones, which are Rabbi Tanur gives examples based on the Gemara. Nismis eino, he became blind in one eye. Nikta yado, or he lost a nishbaraglo, or he had amputated hand or a broken leg. So then Shem Gamliel says, Kofin Osolahotzi. In this case, we don't say, too bad. You know, that it's her, Nistrapra Sadeha, you know, too bad, her misfortune was the cause of this. Why don't we say that? In the previous mission, we said that. If it's a Mum Gadol, we don't say, too bad. Here, why do we say that over here, Mum Hagadolim? So the answer is because in the previous Mishnah, we think about the relationship to the husband and the wife. The husband is not the kinyan of the wife. The wife is the kinyan of the husband. So in the case of the wife's defects, we can say, too bad, the husband married her, mekach, too bad on you, it's your misfortune, you feel this has been inundated, literally, because the wife's is acquisition. So, but it's not true the other way. So therefore, she doesn't have to tolerate these large defects, and she can demand to be divorced with a ksuva. Kovra so lahotzi. Nonetheless, halacha doesn't follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, and even in the cases of mumin gedolim, he's not forced to divorce his wife.